I got to tell you, I think it's the most challenging thing that we do as a Christian is to prepare our hearts so that we come together with our church body, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship God, to have our heart ready in a place where every word that is sung just rings true through our bones. And that we sing to the top of our lungs because we understand and we know who God is and we recognize Him for who He is. And being able to emotionally connect to the music and emotionally connect to a sermon that's preached or the communion table, all these different elements that we have, it's really challenging. And why? Because outside of these four walls, outside of a gathering of God's people, man, there's just a lot of junk going on in our life. The Satan is trying to distract us in so many different ways. Relationship problems and marriage problems and our kids and our job and work and school and our neighborhood and our house and projects to be done. All of these different things just weigh so heavily on us. And then for a moment, we enter into this place and we're supposed to somehow just leave all that behind and enter into a place where we can just recognize God for who He is and praise Him and give Him what He deserves from us, His people, and what He even asks for or tells us to do in Revelation chapter 19. Well, that's what we're going to try to do today, is I really want us to have this moment where we can be called to worship, where we can be ready to hear from God through music, hear from God through His Word, hear from God through communion and the table that's set before us, and even hear from God through giving of our tithes and offerings. I just want this to be a time where we can connect with what's happening and pour out our praise and worship before God. When it comes to call to worship, I think there's one scripture that's just better than the rest of them. It's Psalm 150. Man, I love Psalm 150. Psalm 150, what you're going to hear when you hear here in a second is from Psalm 150, you're going to hear that that we should praise God everywhere. And man, in northern Michigan, is there ever a better place where that would play out? We just take a step outside and that is God's sanctuary, is it not? It doesn't matter what season of the year it is. I know that we're not up for 9 months of winter, but man, you got to admit it. After a fresh snow, to just step outside and just to see the beauty of it, God's sanctuary. And the psalmist tells us just to praise God everywhere. And then he says, praise Him for His mighty deeds. It's not just to go and praise this God who's invisible and wandering around. We don't know who or what. We can praise Him because we know what He's done for us. That should put even an extra pep in our step, if you will, or volume in our vocal cords, because we know what God has done for us through Jesus on the cross. And then finally, at the end of the psalm, you're going to hear, Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It reminds me of when Jesus is riding into town and he said, they said, quiet these people down. And he said, you know what? If they weren't making noise, even these rocks would cry out. And that's the visual I have with the psalm where it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When you tie in Psalm 150 with Revelation 19, this is what you get. Praise Him with every breath that you have while you're still breathing. Because when this life is over and you've breathed your last in this world, guess what? You get to praise Him even louder when you're in His presence. Amen? I give you Psalm 150 and your call to worship.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God in His sanctuary.
Praise Him in His mighty heavens.
Praise Him for His mighty deeds.
Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Praise Him with trumpet sounds.
Praise Him with lute and harp.
Praise Him with tambourine and dance.
Praise Him with strings and pipe.
Praise Him with sounding cymbals.
Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Now, how many of you would classify your singing as making a joyful noise? Yeah, I'm right there with you. Somehow I got skipped in the whole Bratton thing when it came to music. It was probably my own laziness and not wanting to dive into it. But yeah, sometimes when it comes to singing, we're just making a joyful noise. But the psalmist tells us, that's all right. Just do whatever you have to make a joyful noise before God. When I was in Indianapolis for about 20 years, the first company that I worked with, they had season tickets to the Indianapolis Colts on the second row, 50-yard line, behind the visitor's bench. And I was blessed to get to go a couple of times and just watch the game from a perspective that is totally different from sitting in your recliner or even sitting up in the nosebleed sections. I mean, it was just right there when you were watching Dan Marino take one sip of the Gatorade and throw the cup on the ground. I mean, it was right there in front of you. Then I had a friend. He's my best friend down in Indy, and he's my best friend because he gives me stuff. I'm just kidding. He had season tickets to the Colts and the Pacers, and again, I would get the opportunity several times to go down and watch some really cool games. And what was interesting is that at the end of, right before Peyton Manning was drafted, Jim Harbaugh was there, Captain Comeback, and I got to see him play in some games. And when during that time before Peyton was drafted, what would happen is about Tuesday or Wednesday every week, they would have this announcement on ESPN radio. They would say, listen, the game's going to be blacked out in Indianapolis if we don't sell 5,000 more tickets, 10,000 more tickets. If it's not sold out, then you're not going to be able to get to watch the Colts here locally. And they would keep begging and begging and begging. And finally, about Thursday or Friday, some big company would swoop in, buy the rest of the tickets so the rest of us could watch it on television. What happened when Peyton Manning was drafted? You couldn't find a ticket. I mean, it was crazy. You'd have people begging for tickets and looking for them and scalpers just going. I mean, it was just crazy what was taking place when he entered the building and how everybody just wanted to get a ticket to see this guy play and just watch how the Colts were winning all these games and figuring out what was going on. Well, if you went to a Colts game, what would happen is you'd get there, and while everybody's getting in their seats, and if you've been to an NFL game, you know this, they're out practicing, and the punters are punting, kickers are kicking long field goals, and they're just warming up, stretching out. But then everybody clears the field, and they'll do kind of some little presentations in the middle, but eventually, at one point, everybody just clears the field. And then in Indianapolis, what happens is they have this chopper that's decorated in Colts blue and everything with the horseshoe on it. And it just comes ripping out of where the players come down this tunnel. And usually it's Forrest Lucas, the guy that the stadium was named after, or Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts. And he's got a sidecar with some lucky fan that got, you know, won a contest to sit in there. And they come ripping out of the tunnel and they say, ladies and gentlemen, your Indianapolis Colts. And man, you have not heard a noise. It is deafening what takes place when these guys run onto the field and all these 60, 70, whatever thousand people just stand up and brah, and you can't talk to the person next to you. Now, I think that you probably see where I'm going with this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, every Sunday, we enter into this place where our brothers and sisters in Christ are all around us. And we're entering into the presence where God is working. And we can come into this place and we can say, well, I wonder what they're going to show us this week. Or start begging people to come sell out the crowd because we're going to black it out and nobody can see the service. Or we can just come out selling out, if you will, ourselves and our heart and our soul to an almighty Creator God. And make a joyful noise to Him. And I know it's challenging. It's challenging because I don't sing well. It's challenging because I may not have liked those two songs. It's challenging because somebody may have hit a sour one. It's challenging because maybe it's too loud or maybe it's too soft or whatever. But here's the fact of the matter. It's not about you. It's not about me. We are entering into this place in the presence of a holy God. And if that's not enough for us to ready our hearts to just pour ourselves out before Him, I don't know what is. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise, all the earth, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And if you're having troubles each Sunday, coming in with a ready heart to praise and worship an almighty God, simply do this before you cross that threshold. Remember what God did for you through Jesus on the cross. He died for us. And in dying for us, he deserves that we make a joyful noise. The kind of noise that you make in the presence of a king, because that's exactly who he is. You know, Jesus told this story. He told a parable about the sower, if you remember that parable. And after the parable of the sower, the disciples looked at him and said, Jesus, can you explain that one to us? We didn't quite get that one. And Jesus pulled him aside and said, I'm going to tell you because your eyes have been open to be able to see that I am the Messiah and what's going on here. He said, there are others, pointing to the Pharisees, whose eyes have not been open that they cannot see. My prayer for us as a church body, that when we come together to worship, that our eyes would be opened, that the eyes of our heart would be open, that when we come into this place, we anticipate, expect, and we get to see Jesus at work. That we get to see God working in this place. Transformation taking place. One of my favorite things as a minister to get to do is to watch people's lives be transformed. And my prayer is that every single Sunday when we come in to gather as a people of God, that our joyful noise would be ringing high for God to hear and to accept, because he deserves every single bit of it. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come together as a people of God to worship you and to praise your holy name. Father, thank you for the challenge from the psalmist to make a joyful noise. And it doesn't matter how well or how poorly we sing. It just matters that we're singing praises to you because we recognize who you are. And you are an awesome, almighty creator, God, and we love you. May you accept our praise even now, as we pray, as we sing the song as a prayer to open the eyes of our heart. It's in Jesus' name that we pray it. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Thank you.
Grace my dream. Good morning. Like Andy, I wish I could sing, but I won't sing. Welcome around the Lord's table this morning. How confident are we in this Lord's table? How confident is that loaf of bread, that little piece of unleavened bread in that cup? How confident are you with that today? I think we all come in with different things in our life, difficulties, situations. And yet, how confident are we? And I have to been looking through Psalms and love reading Psalms as well. And I can't really pinpoint a favorite. I've been asked about what kind of favorite verse, and I think they're all favorite, being God's Word. But as I was looking under this with Psalms, there's well over 100 verses that are related to salvation. And then, of course, in the New Testament, there's well over 400, probably 500 or more, that talk about salvation. And it's interesting how Jesus Christ made that big difference in that time. But the couple I want to share with you of Psalms, Psalms 27:1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Confidence in that salvation that God gives. And then to kind of offset that or to match that, in John 8:12, Gospel of John, is written, it says, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." And I'll share another one of Psalms. It says Psalms 118:19. And this one says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness." The confidence that the psalmist has here. "Open the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. I will give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answer me. You have become my salvation." In Matthew 7:13, and I'll finish with this. Jesus said, though, about gates, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But it's small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it." So I don't know how you feel today if you're on a tightrope on that narrow path. I don't know. I ride a bicycle. It's pretty narrow, that track, and stay balanced. But I'm confident I can still keep going. That even though the narrow path, that gate that we're entering to, we can be confident that God's eternal love is with us. Are you confident in that? Are you confident in that loaf of bread and that cup? What Jesus did for us. We should be, right? Yeah. Confident that we have a love, eternal love from God through His Son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful that You are a God that does love us, that You sent Your Son for us, that is His perfect life, sinless life, Father, that was born on that cross, blood poured out for us. That's that love, Father, that has a grace and mercy that's hard to imagine, hard to explain. But Father, we thank You and love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. confident in the blood of Christ, let's partake together. As men come forward, I'd like to continue the worship and our giving, and pray before we do that. Father God, we are grateful. You're God that has blessed us so richly in many ways, Father. In your Spirit, gifts of many things, Father, this world that you've trusted us with. We are grateful that you are God that provides and never ends, your resources that will never end. We're thankful for the trusting that you give to us and giving a portion back. We ask, Father, that these gifts will be a blessing to you and your kingdom, and expand the gospel of Christ throughout this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus arose with our freedom here.
on, we can do better than that. It's the presence of a king. Psalm 98 reads this way. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. At the ends of the earth have all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise, there it is again, to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. There are two things that stick out in this from this psalm for me. The first is that this is a messianic prophecy. This is a prophecy 1,000 years before Jesus came on the earth. This is a prophecy that's talking about Him and what's going to take place. And we know that because it says, sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. Who sits at the right hand of the Father? It's Jesus. And He's worked salvation for Him by coming and dying on the cross for our sins. He has worked righteousness for us. What that simply means, if you're not a believer in Christ, if you haven't taken that step yet, or even if you have, here's a reminder for you. Being right means that when we sinned, we were separated from God. We couldn't get to Him by our own works or anything that we could do. But God, in His infinite love for us, sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And when we accept the blood of Jesus as our pardon, as paying the penalty for our sin, we are then made right before God. That's righteousness. And the psalmist is saying, sing a new song. Why? Because God has worked out righteousness. He has worked out salvation. And that salvation is that you and I, sinners that are lost, now have hope. And we have hope because God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And I love that about this psalm. The other thing it says at the very beginning, sing to the Lord a new song. I mentioned earlier that one of my favorite parts of being a pastor is when somebody comes who is unchurched, doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, and they come into our fellowship. And they come and worship with us, and they stop and say, hey, you know, let's talk, or hey, can we get together? Or they get into one of our life groups or whatever, and they start to hear more about the gospel, that God reigns. They start to hear more about what sin is and that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They realize that none of us here are perfect, right? Unless, did I miss somebody? Is anybody in here perfect that I overlooked? Yeah, we know that, right? And they figure that out. They say, wow, they have flaws just like I do. Yeah, we all do. And then when they start to figure that out, they start to say, okay, tell me more about who this Jesus is. And so we're able to lay out a plan of salvation, if you will, or just lay out for them what the gospel is and who Jesus is and what God's love looks like. And then when that person takes that step, if you will, across the threshold from being lost to being found, and we get to experience a baptism and somebody's sins being washed away and raised to walk in a new life, and we get to see the transformation take place in people's lives. And that is just an amazing thing as a minister to be able to watch and observe and just to see that take place. I would suggest to you that that's a new song. Your life is a melody, a beautiful song written by God through Jesus, that He can add to His songbook of a life that was saved. You and I are in God's great songbook because we are a new song. When we had our life transformed by the blood of Jesus and went from lost to saved, from lost to found, from dead to alive, we wrote a new verse in the song. A new song that gets to be sung in heaven for everyone to hear. What does your song look like? What does your song look like? Salvation deserves a new song. A song sung by all of God's creation. God deserves that everyone would get to be another verse in the songbook. He is an almighty, all-powerful God who created every one of us. He deserves that every single person would get to hear the message of the gospel, surrender to it, and be another song in his songbook, because he deserves it. And that's what you and I are. Those that have surrendered our lives to Jesus are a new song for him. We're going to sing one more song this morning. And it simply is a song that just says, thank you. And I hope that as you stand and sing it, that it'll absolutely be your praise and thanksgiving to a loving God who has sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And that as you sing it, you might be thinking about what your life song is. What is the song about you that is written for all of eternity? Who were you before you knew Jesus? And now who are you now that you've met him and been transformed by his blood? Why don't you stand with us and let's sing the song together.
I cannot come. Yeah.
You can have a seat real quick. So the last question I would leave you with is this. What's your song going to be when you stand before the throne? What's your song going to be when you stand before God? Is it a song like Amazing Grace because of His amazing grace? Do you want to sing about the chains that are gone and that you've been set free? Do you want to sing like a song like Jesus, just thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins that I could live again. Is it a song like open the eyes of my heart that I might be able to see? Or thank you for opening my eyes because I'm already here being able to see God. What's your song going to be? Is it going to be a song about this is where I was and the issues I was having and the world that I was pursuing, the world that I was chasing. And now this is who I am because I found Jesus. What will your song be before the throne? Here's my favorite part of the three psalms that we wrote today, or that we read today. We don't know who wrote them. If you look in your Bible, a lot of them have autographs, we'd call them. They would say that this is a psalm of David. This is a psalm of Solomon. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah. And with each of those psalms, we can look back in their life like we did with Solomon a couple weeks ago. And it sheds light on why he would sing this or what he was talking about. And it would mean something more because we saw the context of it. But with these three psalms, we don't know who wrote them. The reason that I love that so much is this. Because those psalmists help turn our hearts and attention toward God and God alone. There's no backstory to dive into. They simply say, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. God has worked out salvation for you and me. And for that reason and that reason alone, that ought to be enough for us to come into His presence and sing our praises to the loudest that we possibly can, honoring Him and glorifying Him because it's all about Him. And I think that's so cool about those hymns. So as you think about what your story is this week, as you think about what verse in the song that you would want to sing, I pray that it leans more toward all hail the power of Jesus' name and crown Him with many crowns so that we can turn our attention and our focus toward Him. You know, let's end this way. Mark, can you bring up Psalm 150 again? Let's stand and let's read it together. All right. We good? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And let's hear it. Praise the Lord. Let's hear it again. Come on. 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
Amen and amen. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to the worship band and Shalini, our guest here. She's been worshiping with us a little bit this summer. And she's here playing violin. And Kaylin on the cello. And Curtis earlier on the trumpet. Man, what a joyous, marvelous thing we could do to sing and pour out our best before God today. So thank you for being here. I'm going to be out in the lobby. If you're a guest, I'd love to meet you. I'll be milling around out there. If you have something that you need prayer for, you can see our prayer team across the hall in the Faith Cafe. Let me pray for us and then you're dismissed. Make sure you say hi to somebody before you leave. Father, thank you so much for this morning that we could just come together and just worship you. You're an awesome, powerful God. We love you so much. And I pray, Father, that this has been pleasant to your ears. It's been pleasant to you to hear our voices and to hear our worship just pouring up to you, Father. And we thank you so much for your love and the salvation that you've worked through Jesus. Thank you for this awesome worship band, this team that have come together. And thank you for them leading us in worship this day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, all right, hey, have a great week.